button of my flight jacket to ward off the late October chill. And sure that if we stay on task, we can be back in 2 days, max. I'm definitely sure that this will stop the Griffin attacks on Navarian outposts. But am I sure that we won't fail or end up permanent guests of Viscount Tacaris? No. Well, I'm sure Zayden is going to lose his shit when he finds out you went behind his back, Mira lectures as we make our way to our dragons. Yeah, well, Zayden will forgive me as soon as he realizes we're back in the venom slaying business. I'm only doing it this way because he refuses to do what needs to be done in the name of protecting me. Just so you know, I'm only doing this because doing everything you ever ask for the rest of our lives still wouldn't make up for me not believing you. I happen to like protective Zayden. Makes me worry about you less. I kind of miss when he wanted to kill me. At least then he didn't insist on hovering. And I'm only doing this to make sure neither of you die, Brennan chimes in from the right. Please, Mira scoffs. You're only here because of the rank on your uniform. Neither of you can negotiate an arms deal on behalf of the Assembly. You both know this could go very badly, right? He shoves his hands in the pockets of his flight leathers. Is there a risk? I nod and ignore the jump in my heart rate. Yes. But he wants to see me wheeled for a luminary. Even Zayden said the biggest threat is him keeping me, not killing me. And if I have to stay in Poromiel so my friends and family can be safe, then fine. As long as Brennan and Mira get to leave with the luminary. It's a fair trade. Feel free to stay in the place you've called home for 6 years, Mira challenges Brennan, then shrugs a shoulder. I've always been better than you with a sword anyway. I'll bring Violet home without a scratch. No, I glance between them. Have they always bickered like this? We're not fighting the entire way there, and we sure as hell can't fight once we get there. This is dangerous enough as it is. Pull yourselves together and quit squabbling. Yes, Mom, Mira mocks. Mom, what would she think of the three of us working together? We all fall silent, the quiet only broken by the frost crackling beneath our boots. Too soon? Mira asks. I'd say so, I answer, tightening the straps on my pack. Definitely, Brennan adds. All three of us are faintly smiling when we reach the dragons. You sure you can find the way? I ask Taryn after I secure my pack behind my saddle.
I'm going to pretend you didn't ask that.
And Sigail? I shift forward and buckle into the saddle, flinching as the cold seeps through my leathers.
She's out of range, but her emotions are calm.
And you promise not to tell her until we're back? I clutch the pommel and glance around the valley, looking for any sign of Andarna, but she's nowhere to be seen.
She's already gone, and the Hungry One has been seething since this afternoon when she found out she wasn't coming.
Taryn crouches low, then springs into the sky. The ground falls away with every powerful beat of his wings, and I foolishly hold my breath as we pass over a sleeping Aracia, as if the sound of my inhale might wake my friends. Rhiannon is the only one who knows we're going, and she'll cover for us as much as possible. But even though I might be dispensable for a day, I have no doubt someone will notice Brennan is missing. My cheeks are numb before we make it past Aracia, and my legs lose feeling by the time we reach the cliffs of Draelor a couple of hours later. Flying for any amount of time this late in fall isn't for the faint of heart. Taryn flies through the morning, holding back his speed for Tiny and Marb as we glimpse Krovla's second most populous city, Draethys, to the south, and continue into the darkness ahead. The feeling seeps back into my limbs the lower in elevation that we fly and the higher the sun climbs.
Sleep, Silver One. It's not me Tacaris wants to see perform like some kind of pet.
I take his advice and get as much rest as possible, but my jittery nerves have me shifting in my seat as we fly over land I've only seen in paintings. Amber fields ready for harvest give way to pale beaches and blue-green sea as the day passes into afternoon. The closer we fly, the tighter the anxiety in my chest coils. This is either the best idea I've ever had or the worst. By the time a drift of three griffins appears, flying directly toward us in a standard V attack formation, I decide that we're definitely leaning into worst idea territory. Just because they're smaller doesn't mean they can't deal Terran some real damage with those talons.
It's all right. They're escorting us into Cordon,
Terran tells me. But there's a shift in his tone that tells me he's not happy about the entourage or the speed he has to slow in order to accommodate them. They spread out, flying in a formation that surrounds the six of us.
See that sorry excuse for a fortress on the eastern side of the farthest peak?
He asks as we follow the line of the beach. I've never seen water that color. Like, it can't quite decide if it's turquoise or aqua. You mean the palace that looks like it's glowing? The structure is a sprawling, glistening combination of white pillars and blue pools that cascade in five distinct terraces down the gentle slope of the hills above the beach.
It's just the sun reflecting off the white marble, he grumbles. The entire thing is ridiculous and indefensible.
How beautiful. What a luxury to build a palace like this, designed purely for aesthetics. No high walls or portcullises. Terran's right, it's utterly indefensible. And it will fall should Venon choose to take it. But my heart clenches at the thought that I'll never experience peace long enough to live somewhere like it. I can even make out a vast, colorful garden as we approach over the riverside city beneath. The griffin ahead of us dips into a sharp descent, and Terran follows suit, tucking his wings and getting just close enough to the griffin to let him know he's no match.
Stop intimidating them.
The last thing we need is an incident before we can even ask Takaris for the luminary.
I can't help their inferiority.
There's a definite smile in his tone, but his mood shifts as we level out near a manicured lawn in front of the third terrace of the palace.
You will not be happy with the welcome we're about to receive.
He lands behind the griffin and his flyer, who hops down to face us. I'm sure we'll be fine. You worry too much.
We'll see about that.
I make quick work of removing my pack, but damn, do my stiff joints ache as I slide down Terran's foreleg to land in the soft green grass. Are you all right? Mira asks, already waiting for me because she's that much quicker. Just sore from sitting in one position for so long.
Gods, it's hot down here.
Maybe we should have sent word ahead. They look like they'd rather fight than negotiate. She turns her attention forward to the line of three griffins and their flyers, who all face down our dragons despite being drastically overpowered, forming a wall of feather and talons that blocks us from proceeding to the palace.
They're certainly brave, I'll give them that, I mutter as Brennan reaches our sides, putting me between him and Mira. Some things never change.
They're also expecting us,
Brennan notes quietly as we start forward.
You think? Mira asks, her gaze scanning our surroundings.
I keep my focus on the flyers and their hands.
There are at least 36 people watching from the balconies above, and there's another group behind the griffins, Brennan states. They were waiting.
Plus, no one's screaming at the sight of our dragons, I add quietly. Mira grins.
True.
Be careful what you say in here.
Takaris will hold us to whatever deal we make. He doesn't take kindly to broken words, and keep your shields up, though I'm not sure they'll do much good. Brennan orders when we're less than 12 feet from the flyers.
Flyers might not wield signets, but most of their lesser magic gifts involve mind work.
And it's the one area where they have the upper hand on us.
Noted.
I don't even need to check my shields. They've been locked into place since we left Erasia. The griffins stare down at us with dark, beady eyes as we approach and click their razor-sharp beaks in a rhythm that reminds me of speech. The aggressive snaps of the one on the right make me glad I can't understand what they're saying. Two of the flyers wear the same brown leathers I've seen before on Serena, but the guy on the left with the patchy beard has a lighter-colored one and different symbols embroidered on his collar. Cadet? I ask Tarn.
Yes, he pauses. According to the feathered ones, a third of their ranks took shelter here. Cliff's Bane Flight Academy was in Zolia.
Brennan says something in Krovlish, his tone changing into the curt one he uses when his rank is more important than his name.
We know who you are.
The tall flyer in the center erupts in the common tongue, studying the three of us as if assessing which is the biggest threat. His attention lands on my wind-ravaged coronet braid, and his posture changes slightly, taking on the most casual of battle stances. Guess I win. Mira moves closer to my side and stares him down, her hand resting just above the hilt of her sword.
And you speak Navarian, Brennan notes.
Of course. Not every kingdom thinks theirs is the only language that should be spoken, the flyer on the left says, her fingers drumming along her sword. Solid point.
Give us one truth, and we'll allow you to meet with the Viscount, the central flyer says, his reddish brows knitting.
You're a truth-sayer, like Nora. It's a guess, but I know I'm right when his pale eyes flare. So some of our powers are the same. Interesting.
Unlike riders, we do not label ourselves by our abilities, but yes, I have the gift of telling when someone is lying, he corrects me.
Noted, I say for the second time in the last 5 minutes. I fucking hate being disadvantaged by ignorance. But it's not like the archives were stacked with tomes on flyers or what they've gone through for the last 600 years.
Seeing as you've arrived without invitation, we require you have honest intentions before traveling farther.
His hands flex near his daggers, and Mira palms the hilt of her sword. We're one misstep away from drawing weapons, and we all know it.
I'm here to wield lightning in return for asking your Viscount for help.
May as well start us out. He cocks his head to the side, then nods, glancing toward Brennan.
I'm here to broker a deal for your luminary in return for weaponry,
Brennan declares. The flyer nods and looks at Mira.
Fine, she sighs. Make one wrong move toward my sister, and I'll gut you like a fish. That goes for everyone in this city. How's that for honest?
My mouth opens slightly as I glance sideways at my sister.
Damn it, Mira.
Brennan growls. The flyer's mouth curves into a toothy smile.
I can respect that.
He glances up at the griffin above him, and the trio parts, revealing the figure waiting directly behind them. A figure dressed entirely in black. His jaw flexes, his hands curl at his sides, and his beautiful face. Well, he hasn't looked at me with that much anger since discovering my last name at Parapet, back when he wanted to kill me. Guess I should be careful what I ask for, because I'm so fucked.
You aren't where I left you, Violence.
An excerpt from On the Aristocracy of Poromiel by Pearson Quito. Having refused every proposal from the Isle Kingdoms, Queen Mariah has named her distant cousin, Viscount Takaris of Cordon, as her heir. As the Viscount is living in his fifth decade and has no direct heirs of his own, the decision has not been a popular one. Chapter 41.
Where you left me?
I whisper under my breath at Zayden as we walk across the guarded lawn, passing by a half dozen more flyers on our way to a row of open doors made entirely of glass. How utterly impractical and sublimely gorgeous. Like I'm some kind of pet who should stay curled up on your bed because you said so? Fuck him. The thought isn't entirely unpleasant, he fires back. I breathe in through my nose and out through my mouth to keep my power from rising, refusing to unpack the conduit from my bag. Save it for behind closed doors, lovebirds. Brennan orders from directly behind us. We need a united front. I can't believe you brought her here, Zayden retorts, shooting an icy glare at Brennan. I can't believe you think you outrank me, Brennan says, his tone sharpening. I do in every way but one. Zayden looks forward, anger radiating from every line of his body. The one is all that matters, Brennan counters. They really grow grass ornamentally? Mira changes the subject as we approach two guards in crimson uniforms near the door. You should see the butterfly garden, Zayden says, nodding to the guard on the right as we pass through the open doorway. Wait, why aren't we being escorted by flyers? And how the hell does Zayden know this place has a butterfly garden? How long have you been here? I ask, entering the palace. And holy shit, what a palace. Every surface seems to shimmer, the white marble interior reflecting not only natural light, but a soft glow of white mage lights far overhead and deep into the structure, where I can make out several seating groups of low-backed furniture. The ceilings are the height of Segale, the space divided by not only columns thick as Terran's legs, with murals intricately carved into each circular block, but a wide staircase that must lead to the next story. Pretty sure if I were to call out my name loudly enough, it would echo back in here, if not for the crowd of people in many different forms of attire milling about near a set of graduated pillars in various shades of black. Brown is definitely the dominant clothing color, and we are definitely the topic of conversation as we pass by. We landed a few hours ago, Zayden answers. We changed direction as soon as Segale felt Terran on the move. You will not be happy with the welcome we're about to receive. That's what Terran said when we landed. You and I are going to have a discussion, I send his direction. You promised. I promised not to tell. Not that she couldn't sense me. Fucking dragon semantics. Is that a pool? Mira stares at the winding turquoise path that curves around the staircase and disappears out onto the terrace. You get used to them, Zayden remarks, leading us over a flat marble bridge wide enough for two people. Just be careful if you've been drinking. No railings. We won't be here long enough to drink. Brennan's words slow with our steps as a group of a dozen people descends the staircase in front of us. But Zayden's been here often enough to drink? To have fallen into this pool? Here we go. Zayden's voice lowers. Try not to set the place on fire. Two crimson-uniformed guards station themselves at opposite ends of the curling banister, and a tall, dark-haired man in a deep blue tunic with gold brocade walks forward, looking over us with rapt fascination. His uniform is tight above the waist, his flushed cheeks soft and round. Viscount, Zayden addresses him, this is Cadet Violet Sorengale and her sister, Lieutenant Mira Sorengale. I believe you and Lieutenant Colonel Acerai are already acquainted. We are, he flashes impossibly white teeth as he smiles at me, etching deep lines into his forehead and at the edges of his eyes. But it's you I am most curious about, Violet. The unnerving amount of glee in his gaze makes it nearly impossible to stand still as he studies me, drawing out his words until he finishes his perusal.
Is it true that you call lightning from the sky?
I do. I keep my focus on the Viscount.
But I feel the weight of his entourage staring behind him.
How wonderful!
He clasps his hands in front of his chest, his rings twinkling with heavy gemstones.
Shall we?
Brennan starts.
It's poor etiquette to discuss business until dinner. You know the rules, Ryerson,
Takaris says, glancing Zayden's way.
They certainly can't attend as they are. They'll need to be dressed suitably, as will you.
Zayden nods once. You know the rules? I ask Zayden. Exactly how many times have you been here? And what part of our uniforms isn't suitable for dinner?
I don't exactly keep count. Don't worry if you haven't brought anything fit for the occasion,
Takaris says to me.
I took the liberty of having a selection of clothing pulled from my best collection once Ryerson told me you were inbound. My niece will see you properly attired, won't you, Kat?
He calls back over his shoulder. My stomach hits the sparkly marble floor.
You have to be fucking kidding me.
Of course, Uncle.
Catriona steps down from the front row of the entourage, dressed in a purple long-sleeved gown that shows her elegant figure to its best advantage. I'd thought she was beautiful from a distance, but up close, her features are truly so flawless that she's completely, utterly devastating. Suddenly, I understand exactly why Zayden's been here too many times to keep count.
I didn't expect you to be here, Zayden says to Kat in that clipped, cold tone he uses when annoyed as they lead us down another hallway two stories above where we entered.
Where did you think I'd be after Darkwielders destroyed Zolia and took up residence at Cliffsbane?
Kat questions, pausing in front of one of the dozen doors in this wing. Mira shoots me a look, lifting her eyebrows as we stop in the middle of the hallway, Brennan only a few feet behind.
Later, I mouth at her.
Kat reaches for the golden handle.
Why don't you take Acer Eye to dress for dinner while these two wash up?
She gives Zayden a longing look, and my eyebrows rise. Is she seriously eyeing him up in front of me?
We kept your room exactly how you left it, of course.
She opens the door, revealing a sizable bedchamber with two large beds and a matching gold brocade sofa between them, then walks inside, leaving Mira and me to follow.
Wait, he has a room here? What else has he not told me?
Or what haven't I asked might be the better question.
Why don't you come get dressed in my room?
Zayden asks, and it doesn't sound like a suggestion.
Your room? I think I'd like a little space.
Heat simmers beneath my skin, and I breathe deeply to keep the power caged. Now is not the time to lose control. Not that I have it to begin with. Violet. I turn in the doorway to face Zayden and grasp the door handle, lifting my brows at him as Mira edges around me into the chamber.
I'm the next door down, he assures me, then glances over my shoulder. Close enough to hear you scream.
Good to know, I force a smile and his eyes narrow.
Surely you can't be worried that she's in any danger from me.
I roll my eyes at the incredulity in Kat's tone.
Violet can, Zayden starts. Violet can handle herself, I interrupt, startling Zayden.
I never wanted you to have to.
Not here.
He lowers his head and his voice, narrowing the conversation to the two of us, anger and all.
Takaris might want to keep you, but every other flyer in this palace will happily slit your throat, and Mira's, in the name of revenge against your mother. Brennan's anonymity is all that saves him here. You have no idea how much danger you're in, the lengths I've gone to in order to keep you safe. Stop keeping me safe! I immediately regret raising my voice with Kat in the room and try to steady my ire with a deep breath. You never would have pulled this bullshit last year. You never held me back, never caged me in the name of protecting me. You were the one telling me to find another way on the gauntlet, watching me fight off other cadets at threshing. I wasn't in love with you then. His hand grasps the nape of my neck, and his thumb skates over the pulse in my throat. During gauntlet threshing, I had no idea what you would become to me.
And he couldn't kill me thanks to the deal he made with Mom, the deal he still hasn't trusted me with.
I sure as hell hadn't sat by your bedside for 3 days, knowing my life, if it even existed beyond yours, would mean nothing without you in it.
The gold flecks in his eyes catch the light, and I can't help but blink at what I see there.
You're scared, aren't you?
I grasp the door's edge to keep from reaching for him.
Of losing you? More like terrified.
And when Sigale told me Taryn was headed this direction, I nearly lost my fucking mind.
Shit. What do I say to that?
My plan to raise the wards failed, and you need the luminary. I'm not going to sit tucked away in Erasia just because you're worried something will happen to me. If I did, I wouldn't be the woman you fell in love with.
Your first attempt at translation fails, so you sneak off with your siblings into enemy territory?
His anger is palpable, matching mine as he lifts his head.
Make no mistake, this is enemy territory.
We both know we need the luminary, and I wouldn't have had to sneak if you'd been remotely reasonable.
We could have had it months ago.
I take a step back into the room, leaving him in the hallway. Months ago would have prevented the attacks on the outpost and so many deaths.
Reasonable.
His voice drops to that icy, calm timbre.
For looking for another way before serving you up to Takaris? Let's get one thing straight. If I ever see a way to keep you safe, I'll take it.
The fuck he will. Do you know who you sound like right now?
Please, enlighten me.
He folds his arms across his chest. Dane. I shut the door in his face. Thank you. I tell Zara, the lady's maid we've been assigned, as I smooth the lines of my waist, awestruck she was able to find multiple gowns in my size on such short notice. Even the lightweight black slippers on my feet fit.
You're sure this is how everyone dresses for dinner?
With the Viscount? Every night.
How impractically beautiful.
Donned.
Zara motions to the opening, and I step out from behind the dressing screen. Mira chose the black velvet gown with the square neckline and sheer gauzy sleeves, but I know it was the deep pockets that sold her. I can't help but grin as I see her tuck two of her daggers into the folds. I don't think I've seen you out of uniform in years. Well, it's black, so close enough. She grins as I move to peek in the mirror.
You look gorgeous.
The dress is spectacular. I've never worn anything like it, and it suits my mood perfectly. The bodice, which plummets in a deep V to the base of my ribs, is made of woven black leaves, never bigger than the size of my palm, narrowing above the swells of my breasts to single vines that drape tiny leaves over my shoulders and down the sides of my back, leaving the majority of my spine and all of my relic exposed.
What kind of material is this?
I ask Zara, fingering the sheer black fabric that falls from my waist to the floor in a multitude of layers. Or it's just the one. The gown would be see-through.
It's Devarelli silk, Zara says. So fine it's nearly transparent.
From the Isle?
It's softer than any fabric I've ever touched.
You still trade with them?
Navarre hasn't in centuries.
She nods. We did until the last few years, but the merchants think it's too dangerous to come here now. Anyway, the Viscount likes to keep the most exquisite of objects for himself.
So it's true the Viscount collects rare objects? Mira asks, coming to stand behind me.
He does.
What about people?
I ask softly.
Her eyes flare.
Only if they agree to be collected.
Kidnapping isn't his thing.
I take the sheath and alloy-hilted dagger Mira hands me, then reach into the long slit at my thigh to fasten it against my leg. Hopefully one weapon is enough to make it through dinner. If the Viscount doesn't abduct people, then why was Zayden so scared to bring me here?
Someone knocks.
No. Zara shakes her head and walks toward the door. He won't lock you away, but he will make you a proposal that will tempt you to be collected. Singers, weavers, storytellers, they all eventually remain, she says as she opens the door.
There's nothing Takaris could offer me, but Zayden must think there is.
You went with Black. Kat stares from the doorway. I'm a rider.
Of course, she tilts her head to the side. I just would have chosen something more colorful.
Zayden always laments how monotone everything is at Besgaeth. There's still time to change if you would like.
Her smile is anything but kind.
And that's it. I officially loathe her. Zayden doesn't lament anything.
An ugly, insidious flame ignites in my stomach,
and it takes every ounce of restraint I have to keep from flicking a dagger at her snide head, or at least close to it.
And are you capable of having a discussion that doesn't revolve around him?
Sure.
If it makes you more comfortable, we can discuss how your mother has perpetuated a lie that's cost thousands of Peromish lives, some of which your own sister is responsible for taking.
My brows rise. Did she really just...
Mira catches my eye, confirming that she did.
I was going to remind you that it's probably bad manners to stab our hostess, but you know what?
She shrugs.
Fuck it. We don't need a luminary.
Kat blinks at Mira.
Stop being a wretch, Kat. Serena steps into the doorway dressed in a navy blue formal tunic that's hemmed asymmetrically to a higher line in the front and embroidered with gold feathers.
Nice to see you off your dragon, Sorengale. Is Ryerson hiding somewhere in there, or did he actually let you out of his sight?
Good to see you, Serena. A smile curves my mouth at her teasing tone, and the fire in my stomach dissipates a little.
And he does get a bit protective, doesn't he?
He wouldn't be if he thought you were strong enough to stand at his side,
Kat counters. Never mind, it flares brighter than ever, hot, nauseating, and annoyingly strong. Serena levels a look at Kat that almost makes me pity her. Almost.
Serena, this is my sister, Mira.
I change the subject.
Serena's mouth tightens as she studies Mira.
Your reputation precedes you. I had friends at Strivemore.
Well, shit. From tense to tenser.
I have no remorse for winning battles. Mira sheathes the next dagger at her waist in plain sight.
And if you're Serena Cordella, then your reputation reaches across the border as well.
Dining amid hundreds of flyers that root for your death, and you choose to wear a gown, Serena arches a brow. Where is the shrewd judgment I've heard so much about?
I can kill just as easily in a gown as leathers. Want to see?
Only a fool would call Mira's expression a smile.
Serena laughs, her shoulders shaking.
Ha ha ha, I see why little Sorengale is so tough if she had to grow up with you. Let's get going. The men are already there.
I shoot Mira a look once the flyers' backs are turned,
and she shrugs unapologetically.
We move into the hallway, and regret stabs deep at my choice of gowns when I see Katz in the light. Her hair is pinned in an intricate style, and she's wearing a bold red silk that leaves her shoulders bare and matches the color she's painted on her lips. Suddenly, I feel a little washed out. Doubt makes my steps unsteady. Maybe I should have gone with color. Maybe she was telling the truth and Zayden is sick of all the black. Maybe she knows him better than I do.
You all right? Mira asks as the flyers lead us down the hall, making us the most unlikely foursome to ever walk the continent.
Yes, I roll my shoulders, trying to shake off the feeling. What the hell is wrong with me? I never judge myself against other women when it comes to how we look. How we fight? Sure. Ride? Definitely. But nothing ever as shallow as appearance. Being pretty doesn't save you at Bazgaith.
I hear you have an older brother, Mira says to Serena when we reach the first staircase.
I keep the marble banister in a death grip as we start down. The last thing I'm going to do is trip and fall in front of Kat.
You're thinking of Drake, Serena says over her shoulder. Same last name, but he's our cousin. And come to think of it, you're just his type. He likes women who might actually kill him.
Too bad I don't go for griffin flyers, Mira responds as we round the corner to the next flight of stairs.
Yeah, he'd probably draw the line at a dragon rider, Serena laughs, but it's short-lived. He's with the Nightwing Drift in the north, along the Breivik border.
I don't know their unit terminology, but the Breivik border means he's on the front line.
We make it to the middle terrace, the one we first arrived at this afternoon, and they turn left, away from the winding pool of water and past a line of guards.
Did Zara not know how to attend your hair?
Kat asks with a pitying glance back at me as we approach a guarded set of double doors.
Surely she could have come up with something a little more refined than just leaving it down like that. I thought you always wore it up in case of a fight.
How does she know that? I've had enough.
It would be a pity to kill her now. I'm hunting 10 minutes away and I'd miss the show, Taryn says.
Power surges within me.
Control it, now,
Taryn demands, all trace of sarcasm gone. Swallowing hard, my fingernails biting into my palms, I fight the urge to blast her. What is it about Kat that brings out the irrational in me?
How sweet of you to worry about me, but you're not the one I'm picking a fight with tonight, I assure Kat.
With Zayden? Her eyes narrow, then drip with false sympathy.
If you don't already know that he's not the kind of man who gets flustered or loses control, then there's really no hope for you. Save yourself the energy, because he'll simply think any fight you pick is childish.
Shit. She's right. What am I doing? Zayden doesn't get flustered, and definitely not by me.
Wood groaning as it splits, then shatters, the sound of daggers clattering to the floor, the feel of my heart pounding, my breath stuttering as bliss settles in the marrow of my bones.
I've never lost control like that.
The flash of memory rocks me to my core, clearing my head just long enough to breathe around the insufferable jealousy I feel toward a woman I don't even know.
The guards nod at the flyers and move to open the doors.
Give it a rest, Serena's tone sharpens at her sister. You're all of a year older than Violet, and it's been longer than that since you two were together. He's just a man, but she's the best weapon we have against the Dark Wielders.
Are you all right? Mira asks, her worried gaze skimming my face.
No, I whisper. But I don't know what's wrong either.
The doors swing open, and we walk into the largest dining room I've ever seen.
The glass doors that line the back wall are propped open to the terrace, despite the threatening clouds darkening the sky. A humid evening breeze flickers the candles along the table as the guards shut the door behind us. There must be over 50 people at the long, ornately decorated table that runs the length of the space. And every single one of them has turned to look at the four of us. My gaze finds Zayden's in under a second, and it's not because he's seated at the center of the table, or because he's one of only two men dressed in black, or even because he's turned around as if he's sensed me coming, which he probably did. I locate him within a heartbeat, because he's the center of my gravity. As pissed as I am that he lectured me, that he refused to bring me, that there are years of history behind both of us we haven't discussed, that the tunic he's walking toward me in isn't just tailored to perfection, but obviously made for him, it doesn't change the fact he's a fucking magnet for my heart. That dress. His gaze sweeps over me and heats with an intensity that makes my cheeks flush, my pulse race. You're playing dirty violence. But why is he headed for me when the obvious choice is the woman in red just a few feet away? I'm still really damned angry with you. I lift my chin, just as furious with myself for getting into this position, for feeling whatever all this bullshit is. Feeling is mutual. He slides one hand into my hair, then sucks a breath through his teeth when his fingers meet skin at the base of my spine. But it's possible to be angry while still madly, wildly, uncontrollably in love with me. His mouth crashes into mine in the same instant the world goes dark around us, blocking out everything, everyone but Zayden. We might as well be the only people in the entire province. My body ignites. Gods, the chemistry between us is the only thing stronger than the anger. There's only the press of his lips parting mine, the quick, thorough claiming of his tongue, the jolt of instant need that has me gripping the fabric of his tunic as he kisses me breathless. Just like that, the hottest of my jealousy, the infuriating insecurity that had me second-guessing myself is gone. It's as if the wall of shadow he's thrown up. What did you do? I break the kiss, breathing deeply, and he leans his forehead against mine, keeping us cocooned in total darkness. What I should have done the second I saw you this afternoon. His hand tightens in my hair, tugging slightly. And probably shocked Kat enough to make her stop fucking with your head. What do you mean? She has the gift of heightening the emotions of the people around her, and she's exceptionally powerful. If you hadn't blocked me out all evening, I would have told you sooner. My jaw hangs for a heartbeat before I snap it closed. First, at the knowledge that I actually managed to block him out, and second, no wonder I can't get a grip on myself. She's been waging a war I didn't even realize we were in. Wait, he would have told me sooner. He's had weeks to tell me. You win, Zayden whispers. Shadows fall away as quickly as they appeared as he lifts his head, locking his eyes with mine. I haven't even started fighting with you. I drop my hands from his chest and throw the new rush of power rising within me into my shields. How the hell did she get past them in the first place? If they blocked out Zayden, surely they're strong enough for her. Fine. We can fight as much as you want later tonight. Just know that you've already won. I heard what you were saying. His grip softens in my hair, and he slides his hand to the nape of my neck. I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. Sorry that I've been overreacting since pulling you out of that interrogation chamber. Hell, since Resin, when Sigail told me they were torturing you and I couldn't get to you. His eyes close for a second, and when they open, the fear I spotted earlier is front and center. I can't fucking breathe when you're in danger, but that's not your fault.
I should have brought you here when you asked me to.
My lips part and I blink, certain I misheard him.
Now it's your turn. Can you admit that you should have waited for me to bring you so we could have formulated a plan?
His fingers trail deliciously up my bare back.
No, I shiver at the touch. I'm sorry for not telling you, but not sorry for coming. We need that luminary now.
A corner of his mouth quirks up. Figured.
If you two wouldn't mind joining us. You're essential to this evening's discussion.
The Viscount states over the hushed room, mild annoyance in his tone.
Oh, every single person is out of their seats waiting for us by the open glass doors.
Be ready for anything,
Zayden says before turning toward Takaris. I make no apologies. He laces his fingers with mine, and we walk around the table toward the crowd where Takaris waits.
Maintaining control is nearly impossible around Violet.
My face heats. What the hell? Did he hear her out there? That's impossible.
Kat stiffens next to her uncle, her face falling like Zayden's just delivered a killing blow in a battle I hadn't realized they were in.
So I've heard.
Takaris motions to follow him outside, and we do, stepping onto a marble patio, Mira and Brennan filing in closely behind us.
Word traveled fast when you ruined that little war college of yours for her.
Takaris tips his wine glass my direction as if saluting me.
Split your quadrant right down the middle. Bravo! Been trying to take that place down for years, and you did it in what? 6 days?
Guilt settles on my chest with the weight of a dragon.
5.
Zayden's hand tightens on mine as we cross the patio, coming to the top of a wide staircase. No, not a staircase, seats. The entire north side of the sloping hill has been carved into rows, forming an oval-shaped outdoor arena, the depth of Taren's height and twice his length.
5 days.
Takaris shakes his head in disbelief, then turns to me.
Marvelous. Now, I assume you'd like to discuss acquiring the luminary I have in my possession.
And I assume you've brought us out here to see me wield before you open yourself to discussion? I ask as the thick, rain-scented wind blows my hair back.
We're minutes, if not less, from a downpour.
It's only prudent that I see what you're capable of before entering into negotiations for such a valuable item.
He motions toward the mage light illuminated arena.
Seems fair. My hand slips from Zayden's, and I reach for my power.
Oh, not from up here.
Takaris shakes his head as others join us, lining the edge of the patio, drinks in hand.
Down on the field. It's a performance, after all, isn't it? Would be a shame to waste the gaming arena, since it took me years to construct. It's quite special. All the stone was quarried from Breivik, from east of the Dunas River. Oh, look, they're wheeling out your target.
Target? Oh, shit.
A foursome of uniformed guards pushes a metal chest the size of an armoire into the middle of a grassy field in the base of the arena. I can't even hit the trio of boulders Felix pointed me at, and I'm supposed to hit that chest?
This is going to be over before discussions even begin.
You might recognize the Ribestad chest, Zayden. It's the very one your father brought me when we were in negotiations for what some might consider a greater treasure.
That chest belonged to your father? It was one of the most valuable items he owned.
Zayden tenses. I'll walk her down.
No,
Takaris says, his voice devoid of emotion. Both our heads turn in his direction.
How would I know what she's capable of without you?
Takaris's eyes narrow on Zayden.
My offer is simple. As long as you don't step foot into the arena, Ryerson, and she doesn't leave the field until she strikes the target, we'll open discussions for your luminary. Take the deal or leave it.
We'll leave, Zayden starts, his voice clipped.
Deal, I look up at Zayden. You don't have to protect me from my own signet. If he wants me to blow up your father's chest, I'll blow up your father's chest. His gaze narrows for a second, and then he sighs.
Point made.
I gather the layers of my skirts in my hands and start down the steps. Nerves tighten my ribs, but I shake them off. If I wield enough strikes, certainly one of them will hit. Wasn't that what got us through Resen before Andarna arrived?
I'm coming, Mira announces from behind me. It's not like I have anything to do with her signet. She yells back at Takaris as she catches up to me. The Viscount doesn't argue.
And mine isn't effective this far from the wards, she finishes in a whisper. I tried earlier and nothing happened.
Don't worry, we don't need you to shield. Just dodge the chest if it explodes, I respond, giving her a tight smile.
What greater treasure was your father negotiating for?
I ask Zayden once we're about halfway down the sand-colored stone. I can't even imagine how long it would have taken to quarry enough stone to build this, let alone bring it back from the edge of Breivik.
An alliance my father made that I officially denied last year. The chest is priceless. If he wants you to destroy it with lightning, then this is more a statement about me and less about you.
Why am I not surprised? My hands crush the delicate silk of my gown as I put the pieces of a sickening puzzle together.
Would that alliance have anything to do with Kat?
The hesitation I feel along our bond answers before he does.
Yes.
That information would have been valuable before arriving.
To say the fucking least, no wonder she despises me. I'm not self-centered enough to think I'm the reason he called off whatever alliance they had, but I'm definitely a barrier to resuming it now. Her uncle wants me to blow up the very symbol of whatever it is they'd agreed upon.
Still fighting. Got it.
Mira and I reach the grass as the first raindrops fall.
We should have worn leathers, she mutters, keeping pace with me.
I can't aim,
I tell her quietly, pausing what feels like 20 feet from the chest, just close enough to see runes carved into the thick doors.
Car focused on quantity over quality, and Felix and I just started lessons, so this might take a while.
Two of the guards move to the front of the chest that's taller and thicker than both of them.
Thank Amari, it's huge. A bigger target will be easier to hit.
A guard pulls a small item from his pocket that I can't quite make out from here.
I don't think they're interested in how long it will take, Mira nods to the top of the arena.
Dozens of bow-wielding griffin flyers have surrounded the top row of seats, all with arrows nocked our direction.
They're probably worried you'll strike Takaris instead of the target.
Right. No pressure.
Lifting my hands, I reach for Tarn's power.
Funny how the normally brutal heat of it is a comfort after so many days under Varish's torture without it.
You guys might want to move, I call out to the guards as the stocky one in front holds his fist to the front of the chest like he thinks he has a shot at stopping it if the giant iron box shifts and topples onto him.
Or like he has a key.
A shiver of apprehension skates along my spine. The Arctile Ocean to the south is known for calm, warm waters and what were once lucrative trade routes, I recite, calming my racing heart.
You still do that?
Mira lifts her brows at me.
Only when I'm
the double doors of the chest burst open, sending both guards sprawling across the ground with startling force as a man jolts forward and falls to his hands and knees on the grass. His maroon tunic and trousers are tattered, like he's been kept prisoner for weeks. "What the fuck?" Mira mutters. His head jerks up to look at us, and my heart seizes with pure, immovable terror. Distended red veins branch out from bloodshot eyes.
"Violet!"
Zayden roars.
"Venon."
An excerpt from Memorandum from Professor Carr to General Sorengale. Though her extraordinary signet allows her to extend the wards around herself and her dragon, Cadet Sorengale lacks the consistent ability to produce her own wards without extreme emotional distress. I'm sorry to report I doubt this ability will develop in time. I had such hopes for her. Chapter 42.
"Is that..." Mira whispers, already palming her daggers as the dark wielder digs his hands into the soft green grass of the arena floor, laughing maniacally.
"Breathe. I have to breathe, but there's no air." Purple robes billowing, Soleil charging forward, fuel running behind her, the spread of death and decay reaching them both, the fall, their bodies becoming nothing more than husks drained of power and life.
"Silver One!"
Tarn's roar splits my head, ripping me from the past before it swallows me whole. Rain splatters the ground around us, falling in heavy but sporadic drops. This isn't Resin. This is Cordon, and I have to protect Mira.
"Move!"
I scream at the guards, two of whom run, while one other scrambles backward, leaving the last to stare in frozen shock.
"Get out of here!"
I order Mira, sizzling heat filling my veins as I open the floodgates on Tarn's power.
"I'm not leaving you with that thing!" She flicks her dagger.
"No!" I shout, but it's too late. The dagger lands in the Venon's shoulder. He hisses, ripping the weapon free and grabbing for the petrified guard in the same breath.
"Great! And now he has a knife!"
I lift my hands and release the energy burning through my limbs. Lightning cracks, so white it's almost blue, and I throw up my hand to shield my eyes as it strikes the iron chest as though drawn to it. Sparks shower the arena, one singeing the back of my hand before I can brush it off.
"Tarn, I need you!"
"On the way!"
Panic threatens to grab hold of me, and I waste precious seconds looking over my shoulder at where Zayden is already lunging for the steps.
"Stay put and keep your emotions to yourself. We need that luminary. Violence, I can do this!"
If I can't take on one emaciated Venon, then what chance does the continent stand? The wind shifts, blowing my hair into my face, and I twist to see the Venon's hands wrap around the guard's neck. But I don't need to watch to know exactly what's about to happen.
"Only the alloy-hilted daggers can kill him,"
I tell Mira, yanking my dagger from its sheath and slicing through a strip of fabric in my hem. "If I can't aim, this is coming down to hand." The screams of the guard cut straight through me.
"Holy shit, he's really... What's the plan, Vi?"
Mira asks, gripping her other knife.
"Kill him before he kills us, and whatever you do, don't let him get his hands on you."
I grab my hair into a low ponytail and wrap the fabric from my dress around it to secure it quickly. I'm dead if I can't see. The Venon holds the guard like a shield, blocking me from any potential knife throw. The screams stop as the man slowly desiccates before my eyes. At least two of the other three are already off the field. Letting Tarn's power consume me, I wield again and again, scorching the grass around the Venon without fucking hitting him. The guard falls to the ground, parts of him flaking off as the rain pelts harder and faster.
"Damn it! It's you,"
the Dark Wielder says over the growing noise of the storm.
"The one who commands the sky."
His eyes widen in eerie excitement.
"Oh, how I'll be rewarded when I return with you."
And here I was thinking I was the only Sorengale with a reputation beyond the border. Mira takes a fighting stance, keeping only inches between us.
"By your sage?" I ask him, tracking his movements as rain falls in sheets.
Shit, I can't chance throwing my dagger. If I miss, I'm defenseless. And it's not just me on this field. I need daggers.
"Which sage? I promise you'll wish,"
he starts, raising his arms.
"For death," I interrupt. "Already heard it. I killed that messenger too."
but I wasn't in a cumbersome ball gown. This thing is a fucking liability. Behind you, Zayden says. I glance back and see two alloy-hilted daggers embedded in the ground 5 feet away. Mira! She follows my line of sight and is already moving when I flip my dagger to its tip and flick my wrist, throwing for the dark wielder's throat. The dagger sinks into his side. Shit, I didn't account for the downward pressure of the driving rain. The Venon shouts in pain, yanking the dagger loose as Mira hands me one of the two Zayden flung our way. My fingers grip the water-slick handle, and I prepare myself for the worst when the Venon lifts his hands. But it's not the daggers he throws. The Rivestad chest hurtles toward us, coming so quickly that I barely have time to knock Mira to the ground before it passes by, close enough that I hear it split the air. A dagger immediately follows, then another, missing me but pinning the left side of my dress to the ground. I use our momentum to keep rolling, the diaphanous silk tearing away as I'm pulled to my feet by Brennan, who's decided to join us, I guess. God, no, I can't lose them both in this.
We need to surround him, Brennan says, grabbing the alloy-hilted dagger from the sodden grass. Water collects quickly, soaking my feet, my hair, and what's left of my dress.
And how would you like to do that if we can't see him through this shit? Mira asks.
I'm minutes out, Taryn bellows. We might be dead in those minutes, but we're all dead eventually if I don't secure that fucking luminary.
We have to keep him on the field no matter what. One of them is capable of draining everyone in the palace, I tell my siblings. Back to back, we scan the field, and my breath catches when the dark wielder comes into view, dropping to a knee about 20 feet away. No! Time slows to sluggish heartbeats as I watch him reach for the ground. There's no time to run. We won't make it. My worst nightmare is seconds away from becoming reality. Our mission is going to kill my brother and sister. I'm so sorry. It's barely a whisper. His fist slams into the ground, and through the storm, I watch in breathless horror as his eyes burn fire red, the grass around him shriveling into brown blades.
Mira! Brennan shouts. Shield!
I can't this far from the wards! Her mouth drops as death races for us, the ground rippling as it surrenders its magic.
Shield or we're dead!
Brennan grabs onto us both and yanks us into a tight hold. I tuck in, hoping to make our trio as small as possible, while Mira throws her arms up over us. Her body trembles and Brennan and I wrap our arms around her back to keep her steady. She screams as though she's being ripped apart. She's going to burn out. Shadows stream toward us, but they won't make it. I love you. I push the thought Zayden's way and wait for my power to bleed out, wait for my death to make the Venon unstoppable. But it doesn't come.
You will live,
Zayden orders, as if it's that simple. Mira collapses and Brennan takes the brunt of her weight as I scan our surroundings. The entire field is dead, with the exception of the tiny circle we occupy. She saved us, but it's just the field that's drained. The spectators are all alive and well above the steps from what I can see through the downpour. All the stone was quarried from Breivik, from east of the Dunnest River. Isn't that what Takara said? I wipe the water from my eyes and stand to face the Dark Wielder. He rolls his shoulders in satisfaction, a blissful smile distorting his features as he throws his head back.
If you can't strike him with lightning, then we'll have to get close enough to engage. He can't take both of us,
Brennan says, lifting an unconscious Mira into his arms.
How far are you?
I ask Taryn. Rain doesn't strike the remains of the grass as much as it splashes into water that has yet to run off.
Less than a minute.
I don't have to strike him, I whisper, as the idea hits, scanning the flooded field.
Get Mira to the steps. You'll be safe there.
Brennan looks at me like I've just suggested our world is flat.
Until the next time he drains, I need you to trust me. Get our sister to the steps.
I glance up at my brother and soak myself in Taryn's power, giving it free rein, letting it fill every inch of my body.
Violet,
there's so much love and worry and fear in his gaze that I can't help but force a smile.
I know what I'm doing.
Now run! I take the alloy-hilted blade from Brennan and turn away from them both.
What the fuck are you doing, Violence?
Zayden demands.
Shh, I'm concentrating.
I slam my shields up, blocking him out as the Venon pivots. The asshole smiles wider when he sees me.
You'll be quite the prize, he calls out over the rain, striding toward me as if we have all the time in the world. And to think, you'll bring a dragon with you. You can't be parted for long, can you?
I grasp an alloy-hilted dagger in each hand and wait. If I lose my temper, I'm dead. Charge him and lose, I'm dead. Wait too long and let him get his hands on me? Yep, dead. The female I killed on Tarn's back watched my fighting style and instantly adapted, which means I have to wait until the last possible second to show my hand. Rain sizzles as it hits my heated skin. If I reach for much more, I'll lose the ability to control it and burn out, so I hover on that edge as I hear another sound overpower the rain. Wings. I don't need to stress the importance of timing, do I? Tarn asks. My timing will be perfect. The pounding of my heart steadies with each step the Venon takes, sure of my course. There's no room for error. I glance right just long enough to see that Mira and Brennan made it off the field. I expect nothing less. The Dark Wielder is only feet away, his gaze raking over me, no doubt looking for my weaknesses, when I feel the gust of wind from Tarn's wings at my back. Now! I throw the daggers at the Venon simultaneously, this time calculating for the force of the rain. The instant I see them slice through his boots, pinning his feet to the ground, I whip my arms out to the side, releasing all my power in a scalding torrent of lightning. I stiffen my arms and lock every muscle. Tarn's talons wrap over my shoulders and grasp tight, exactly as lightning strikes behind the enraged Venon, lighting up the sky in a brilliant flash and charging the water that covers the arena and the Venon's feet with lethal energy. The Dark Wielder shrieks in agony, then falls dead, splashing into the field as we fly overhead. I did it. Dune be blessed. I did it. You cut it close. I roll my eyes and breathe deeply despite the rain that runs down my face as Tarn banks left, taking us along the curve of the arena, back to the palace. Sigail, Tiny, and Marb have all taken up defensive perches on the terrace above, positioning themselves to incinerate the crowd. I will devour anyone who makes a move against you. My patience has ended. Tarn's wings beat slower as we approach the patio. I'll be sure to warn them. Tarn waits until I have my balance on my soaked, slippered feet, then stalks forward through the crowd to the cries of flyers and aristocrats alike, cracking the marble beneath his claws until he reaches the grass and pivots, swinging his tail like the weapon it is, and completing the four-cornered defense the dragons have structured. Brennan falls into step with me, Mira propped under his arm, but walking on her own beside him. You all right? I ask under my breath as we pass nobles with umbrellas. This was fucking entertainment for them. We're not the ones you should be concerned for, Brennan mutters as the last line of aristocrats, including Kat and Serena, parts, revealing a situation far more dangerous than the one I was just in. Zayden's lifted hand is raised at his chest, clenched in a partial fist, and wrath chills his eyes as he stares up at the Viscount, whose feet kick for the ground. Takaris tears ineffectually at the shadows strangling his neck, and from the garbled sound of his breathing, he's slowly asphyxiating.
Zayden, please don't, Kat cries.
Zayden's grip only tightens as the rain dissipates to a drizzle.
Takaris gurgles, and flyers draw their weapons, but one growl from Sigail is enough to keep them from advancing on Zayden.
I lower the portion of my shields that allows Zayden in, then send every ounce of my love down the bond. I'm all right.
He tears his gaze from Takaris, the barely caged fury in his eyes making him nearly unrecognizable.
Loosen your grip on his throat. I say calmly, he can't answer questions if he's dead.
Two lines appear between Zayden's dark brows, and his grip eases. Moving to his side, I make sure that my shoulder brushes his arm, that he can feel me physically as well as mentally.
You're lucky you're not dead, I say up at Takaris's blotchy face. If you'd put Zayden in that kind of danger, I'm not sure I would have been as merciful.
You call this mercy? Takaris asks through gasped breaths, still kicking for the ground.
Yes,
Zayden says softly.
You quarried the stones from east of the Dunnus River, the land that borders the Barrens. It had already been drained of its magic.
Yes,
Takaris shouts. Zayden swears under his breath. You built a pit for them, which means you've captured more than just that one.
Puffs of steam rise from my skin, but at least I don't feel like I'm burning alive.
I'll tell you everything we know, Takaris assures me. Just let me down.
And we're supposed to trust you? Brennan asks from my other side.
We were able to keep that one from feeding for days.
Because the runes on the Ribastad chest hold items placed inside suspended in midair, Zayden interrupts. He couldn't reach the ground to drain it until you opened the chest. I don't need you to tell me things I already know.
He drops his hand, and the shadows evaporate.
Takaris slams into the marble patio, grasping for his throat. Zayden crouches down.
If you ever want to have words about why I severed that alliance, then you come for me. Violet is beyond your reach. If you so much as look in her direction with anything but the utmost kindness and respect, I'll kill you without a second thought and let Serena take her place as your heir.
Do you understand me?
His voice has that icy softness that sends chills up my spine. Takaris nods.
Apologize.
I'm fine. He's taking this too far. This man is second in line to the Peromish throne.
You do not take punishments designed for me.
You have my most sincere apology, Violet Sorengale.
Takaris croaks through abused vocal cords.
Now, where does this leave us, Ryerson?
Zayden stands.
Now we negotiate.
An hour later, we're fed and changed into dry flight leathers, the four of us sitting across the cleared dining room table from Takaris, Kat, Serena, half a dozen aristocrats, and one general immediately to Takaris's left. Every person in the room is unarmed, with the exception of Zayden and me, but our signets make it so we're never defenseless.
May I present my offer first?
Takaris asks, tugging his collar away from the red welts across his throat.
You may,
Brennan answers. Zayden's hand slides over my left thigh and stays there. He's had one hand on me since leaving the patio. It's amazing I managed to get into my flight leathers, but I get it. If I'd just watched him face down a Venon, I'd probably be in his fucking lap right now.
Your power is astounding.
Takaris shakes his head slowly at me, as if awestruck.
And you're still untrained. Just think of what you'll be a few years from now, or even one.
Zayden's hand splays wide, and I lace my fingers over his. That doesn't sound like an offer. I keep my voice as level as possible, trying like hell to ignore that this man nearly killed not only me, but Brennan and Mira. Anger rises to boiling wrath swiftly, too swiftly. I glance at Kat.
Stay out of my head, or I'll start wielding inside.
She leans back in her chair, but that narrowing of her eyes isn't defeat. Oh no, she's sizing me up as a worthy opponent.
Game on.
Do you know why I'm such a successful collector?
The Viscount asks, practically vibrating with excitement.
I have a gift for knowing what